At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
A warm up from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to be having Sean Cirillo aboard. He does great work over at Action Network, taking a look at the game of baseball. Also does a tremendous job on the UFC front as well, and we're going to be asking him how he's playing last week and a half of the regular season, if he's just keeping it to teams in contention for the playoffs, if he's taking a look at a little bit of everything, as I do know that there are some people that may take out some of these games in which are involving non-playoff teams. Firstly, I still see some edges there, so we're going to be diving in on that front. We're going to be taking a look at the games that we've got for Thursday, and he's going to be talking about a few pitchers that do have some upside, that maybe the full season numbers don't look at them favorably, but the second half of the season, they've been doing a great job as well. And then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we have to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline / my X timeline at @GNR41. Keep in mind, letters CM. I mean, does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other way, it's find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. So I had that 5-star review. Did get in a few questions today with regards to how I model totals with regards to day / night. Got this one in from Box_Eaton, and he was asking me if there's a significant difference in runs scored / totals and games played during the daytime versus the nighttime, and I really don't find a ton of that. Now, there are some ballparks that they play a little bit differently during the day versus the nighttime. Like out here on the West Coast, the air is typically much heavier during the nighttime than during the daytime. So I'm going to be typically shading down my totals for like an Oakland A's night game because you've got the marine layer that is going to be out. But I really don't evaluate these guys differently with regards to, oh, he typically gives up like a 4 ERA during the daytime and a 2 versus the nighttime or something like that. That's something that really doesn't factor in. But the actual ballpark conditions, they certainly are. And then I had someone else asking about if I factor in shadows with regards to any of these ballparks. And maybe I just don't dive in enough on it. I've never found a ballpark to where I need to factor in the shadows for one. And for two, I think the biggest thing with regards to trying to factor in shadows for baseball games is that it doesn't come into play a ton because a lot of these games, they either start out during very much the nighttime where you get those 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time first pitches out here on the West Coast / on the East Coast, 7 o'clock as well, or you get just mid-afternoon day games. There's very rare occasions where the sun has been up for quite a few hours when you start out the game and it's setting during the nighttime. That can cause for some very funky vantage points, so that's typically something that doesn't really play a lot of a factor for me to the positive or the negative. So hopefully I was able to clear those up for you guys. Always do appreciate the questions. Now let's take a look back at everything that we got late Tuesday into Wednesday on the baseball card, tried to find some trends, and tried to get to know that he seems a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
Do have a little bit of cleanup with the Tuesday games. I guess, as you guys know, the Greg Peterson Experience, that is from midnight to 3 Eastern time out there on the East Coast, and that would be 9 to midnight out west. And in terms of the cleanup that we've got, this one is not really much of a shocker. The Seattle Mariners, they were able to get the job done Tuesday night against the Oakland A's by a count of 7-2. As for Seattle, Luis Castillo, very solid start, 2 runs surrendered over the course of 7 innings. Still very much on the outside looking in for the Cy Young, but we see a complete implosion from Gerrit Cole, not completely out of it in my opinion. You had Edward Bizzardo and Matt Brash both provided scoreless inning, and J.P. Crawford had himself a nice day as he goes deep off of Devin Sweet for his 16th home run of the campaign for the Mariners. They put up 5 runs in the final 3 innings of this game as Paul Blackburn, not a bad start. He gives up 2 runs over the course of 5 innings. From there, Lucas Hirsch, 1 3rd inning scoreless. Francisco Perez, he was able to get it out of the bullpen. But from there, you did have Devin Sweet give up that home run in 1 2/3 innings. Not too bad, but Easton Lucas, who was looking rock solid for this team, well, he bit the bullet here, giving up 4 runs over the course of 2 outs. So that was not great. And then turning it forward to the Wednesday game, more Seattle domination. They have just completely destroyed the Oakland A's all year long, as most teams in the AL West have. 6-3, the final trio of home runs in this one. Dominic Canzone off of young Mr. Estes. He gets his 6th home run season. Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez go deep as well. Raleigh is 29th home run of the campaign. Julio Rodriguez is 31st. Rude awakening for young Joey Estes, making his MLB debut. Gives up 6 runs, 5 of which are earned, including 3 home runs over the course of 4 2/3 innings. From there, Adrian Martinez did go 2 2/3 innings scoreless. He had Perez from the day before. He comes into this one, pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Sandy Jimenez, a scoreless inning, and you did get a pair of home runs as well. Brent Rooker is 27th home run of the campaign off of George Kirby, and Kirby did give one up to Zach Galoff, his 13th home run of the campaign. And George Kirby has been a little bit more topsy-turvy recently, as he has now given up at least 3 runs in each out of his last 6 starts, as he allows 3 runs over the course of 7 innings here. But Andres Munoz, Justin Topa, they're able to clean it up, and they are able to get it done. Looks like the Cy Young Award should be signed, sealed, and delivered for Blake Snell. In the Tuesday game, the Padres win by a count of 2-0, as Blake Snell was removed with a no-hitter going. He went 7 no-hit innings, did walk 4, but 10 punch-outs. From there, Robert Suarez preserved the no-hitter before it was Josh Hader in the 9th inning that gave it up, but was able to keep things scoreless. And then Xander Bogaerts covers the run line with a walk-off home run, his 19th of the campaign, as Ryan Feltner, first start in like 4 months, very good story. He comes back, he's able to roar for 5 scoreless innings. Gavin Hallwell, 2 scoreless innings. Justin Lawrence, he was able to go for a scoreless inning. And then in the 9th inning, Tyler Kinley, he gives up that 2-run home run. So if you were taking a run and a half with the Colorado Rockies, that was just absolutely brutal. And then in the game for Wednesday, the Padres, they have to rally to be able to get it done, but they do get the win by a count of 3-2, as Chase Anderson, actually a pretty solid start here for the Colorado Rockies, does give up 3 runs, just 2 of which earned over the course of 6 1/3 innings. Austin Wins, the catcher, had an arid throw that did not help him out. From there, Justin Lawrence, a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Nick Mears, he was able to provide a scoreless setting in for the Padres. Relatively solid start here from Seth Lugo, giving up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings. Did allow a home run going deep for Colorado. Brendan Rodgers, who has not necessarily panned out as a prospect the last few years, he was able to get his first home run in the campaign. From there, you did have Josh Hader, Scott Barlow, Luis Garcia all be able to provide a scoreless inning to be able to get that one in. And for the San Diego Padres, they were able to rally with a pair of runs in the 7th inning to be able to get that to the window. So they're 75-78 and looking to avoid having a losing record this season. And a team that certainly has a winning record this year. This was just the 14th time they failed to cover the run line in a straight-up win, as the Dodgers overall have 93 wins. They win by a count of 3-2 against the Detroit Tigers on Tuesday. For the Tigers, you had the piecemeal game actually be halfway decent. Miguel Diaz gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen to open up the game, essentially. And then Tyler Holton, he gives up a home run over the course of 3 1/3 innings going deep for the LA Dodgers. J.D. Martinez, 29th home run of the campaign. That was his 3rd home run in the last 2 games. Bo Brisky, though, from there, 2 1/3 innings scoreless. Jason Foley did allow a run in 1 1/3 innings. And then Alex Lang gives up a hit to Max Muncy in the 9th inning that walked it off for the Tigers. Pair of solo home runs, we're able to get them on the board. Ryan Pepiot gives one up to Parker Meadows, the 2nd of the season. And then Spencer Torkelson off the opener of Caleb Ferguson. He's able to get home run number 29 as Ferguson allows a solo home run in his inning of work. Ryan Pepio from there, though, as a bulk guy. Very solid. Gives up that solo home run in six innings. Good factor into the Dodgers' postseason plans. They brought starter Gratterall, Alex Vesia. They were both able to supply a scoreless inning. And then you saw the Arizona Diamondbacks take it to the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday by a count of 8-4. And they also were able to get the job done on Wednesday as well. But in this one, Alex Cobb did not look sharp at all. Five runs surrendered in two innings before Alex Wood comes in three innings of long relief, giving up three runs. Scott Alexander from there, a scoreless inning. And Jack Peterson did go deep off of Zach Gallen. 14th home run season for Gallen. Not his typical sharp self, giving up four runs in five innings, but Miguel Castro, Andrew Selfrank, Kevin Ginkle, Paul Sewald, they all supply a scoreless inning. And for the San Francisco Giants, things are really sliding away from them as they then lose on Wednesday by a count of 7-1. For the Giants, absolutely nothing doing for them on offense. 0-5 with men in scoring position, and Logan Webb gives up three runs over the course of six innings before the bullpen truly made a mess out of it. Sean Elgelay, he was able to give you four outs out of the bullpen scoreless, but Ryan Walker has been pretty solid all season long. Gives up four runs in two-thirds of an inning, including a pair of home runs. Corbin Carroll, 25th home run of the campaign. Keitel Marte of the Marte Parte is 24th. The Jock Peterson home run came off of Merrill Kelly. He gave up just his home run in 6 2/3 innings. Ryan Thompson and out of the bullpen. And then Kyle Nelson and Luis Frias were both able to get a scoreless inning. And you're taking a look at the wild card standings right now for the San Francisco Giants. They're 3.5 games back of that final spot. The Reds, they are 1.5 games back as Arizona currently controls spot number 2. And for the Cincinnati Reds, they were unable to get the job done on Wednesday themselves as they were looking to try to be able to keep pace. They lose to the Minnesota Twins by a count of 5-3. As for Bailey Ober, relatively solid start. Gives up two runs over the course of five innings, going deep off of him. Christian Encarnacion Strand, his 9th home run of the campaign, but you did have Josh Winder wind it up for a pair of innings, giving up one run along the way. And then Yoan Duran along Griffin Jacks, they both lend a scoreless inning. And for the Cincinnati Reds, collapse in the 9th inning. This was a spot where they were up by a count of 3-1 going into the 8th inning, up 3-2 going into the 9th, and then the Twins put up a 3 spot. As for the Reds, Hunter Green, 14 strikeouts, allows a solo home run over the course of 7 innings, as it was Willie Castro who got his 9th home run in the campaign. From there, Ian Gaveau gives up a run in an inning. Sam Moll, a pair of outs out of the bullpen, but Alexis Diaz, a very sure-handed closer, gives up three runs while getting just one out, and that is rough for the Reds' hopes. By the way, for Blake Snell, after he was able to have his tremendous start, he got helped out even further by what we saw on Wednesday, as this game is still going on, but right now the Pirates are up by a count of 11-7 in the 8th inning, and we know that Justin Steele's day is done. As a man of steel, I don't think he's going to be winning the Cy Young. After this one, he gave up six runs over the course of three innings, and from there, we have seen Mark Leiter Jr. give up three runs in an inning, including a solo run. Jose Quas, Aiden Wasneski, they both give up a solo run in their inning of work, as Brad Boxberger and Daniel Palencia from there have settled things down. For the Cubs, they were able to get a pair of home runs off of Mitch Keller of their own. Christopher Morel, 24th home run of the campaign. Ian App is 19th, as Keller gives up seven runs in 5 2/3 innings. So the pitching has not been great in this one. As for the Pirates, you had Joshua Palacios get his 9th home run of the season, home run number 11 for Connor Joe as he makes that thing go. And you were able to get home run number 2 off of the bat of Jared Triolo. Hopefully I said that correctly. So that should give Blake Snell that Cy Young Award when it comes to this one. That gives us 8 straight wins with our DK Network write-up picks, as on Wednesday, the Toronto Blue Jays get the job done against the New York Yankees by a count of 6-1. We had Blue Jays money line, and Kevin Gausman delivered for us. 10 punch-outs and 6 scoreless innings. Chad Green, Jordan Nix both supply a scoreless inning. Eric Swanson gives up a solo run in his inning of work as Austin Wells gets his first career home run. So good for him. And Michael King, this loss is one that goes on his ledger, but he was not the issue. 13 strikeouts, giving up one run in 7 innings, and then the bullpen made a mess of things as Tommy Kahnle, Ian Hamilton, they were not great. They combined for 6 walks and 5 outs as they gave up a combined 5 runs before Greg Weisert got an out of the bullpen for the Toronto Blue Jays. They were just all about taking their base. They went 4 of 12 with men in scoring position, and the Blue Jays looking to be able to pin down one of those American League wildcard spots. We'll certainly be talking about that race a little bit later on with Sean's role. But big one for our DK Network write-up picks, and the Yankees, They're looking to avoid their first sub-500 season since, I believe, 1995. It has been quite a while for them, and this New York team, well, they are going to be having some sort of losing season. They're currently 71-81, but they got a win on Wednesday, 8-3. They take down the Miami Marlins. Brandon Nimmo was able to get his 24th home run season off of Johnny Cueto, which Johnny Cueto was pitching long relief in this game, gave up a pair of solo home runs in his two innings of work. He also gave one up to Brett Batty, his 8th home run season, as Mark Vantino's pair of home runs for him, number 6 and number 7 of the season, goes deep off of Eury Pérez. Pérez only last 3 innings, giving up 3 runs, 2 of which earned, and then George Soriano gave up the other one, allowing 3 runs while getting just 4 outs out of the bullpen. Stephen Oker, JT Chargois, both lend a scoreless inning. David Robertson, pair of outs out of the bullpen, and you did see Josh Bell go deep off of Kodai Senga, home run number 21 of the season, as Senga pretty solid in this one, giving up those 2 runs over the course of 6 innings, including a home run from there. Drew Smith, Trevor Gott, they both lend a scoreless inning. Brooks Raley does give up a run in 2/3 of an inning, but Phil Bickford gets it out of the bullpen, so the Mets able to salvage a little bit of something there, and this sad and pathetic Angels team, they finally get themselves a win. They're able to take down the Tampa Bay Rays by a count of 8-3. It has been a not-so-great run of things for the LA Angels, to say the least. I believe that snaps a 5-game losing streak. Might have actually been 6, but for the Angels, Reed Detmers, he goes 4 innings, not a lot of length, but 1 unearned run given up along the way, and then the bullpen did their part. Andrew Wants, 2 runs surrendered in 2 innings. Jimmy Herget, 2 scoreless innings, and Carlos Acevedo, scoreless inning, is Brandon Drury, and himself a night. 2 home runs, 5 RBI. He goes deep off of Erasmo Ramirez for one of those, and Aaron Civale for another. Home runs 22 and 23 of the campaign. Aaron Civale, 6 runs surrendered in 3 innings. Got some strikeouts, but 6 runs surrendered. From there, you had Jalen Beeks give you 2 scoreless innings, Andrew Kittredge, 8 scoreless inning, and then Erasmo Ramirez gives up 2 runs over the course of 3 innings. So that affects the Rays a little bit in that race to be able to pin down the AL East, as the Baltimore Orioles, they did not help out their cause either. They lose the Houston Astros by a count of 2-1. An Astros team that they have been very interesting to gauge home to road, because they're averaging a full run plus fewer when they are at home rather than when they have been on the road. But they have still, despite that, played right around 56% of their home games over the total. So rare under here as for Baltimore. 2-9 with men in scoring position. Kyle Bradish certainly did his part. 6 scoreless innings. From there, Jacob Webb is scoreless inning, but Shintaro Fujinami is not trustworthy. Gives up a run while getting an out of the bullpen. Mike Bauman, though, he gets a pair of outs on the bullpen before Danny Colomb gives up the game-winning single to Mauricio Dubon in the 9th inning for Houston. They got a rock-solid start out of Christian Javier. Gives up 1 run, 11 strikeouts in 5 innings. That's more of the Christian Javier that we know and love. Kendall Graveman, Brian DeBrayu, piecemeal together 2 scoreless innings, and Ryan Presley, Hector Neris. They're both able to give you a scoreless inning apiece. The Boston Red Sox did get up on the Walker Texas Rangers by a count of 4-0, and then they lost by a count of 15-5. Not a great day for Brian Bay, who's been pretty solid all year long for the Boston Red Sox, but gave up 8 runs over the course of 3 innings. By the way, Texas has now played 62.5% of their home games over the total, with a pair of home runs coming off of Bayo. From there, Nick Robertson gives up 5 runs, 4 of which were earned over the course of his 2 innings. John Schreiber, he gives up a solo home run in his 2 innings of work. Zach Weiss, a scoreless inning, and same with Brandon Bernardino, but by then the damage had been done for John Gray. He did not have the most savory of starts, giving up a home run to Bobby Dalbec, his first of the campaign, and Adam Duvall, home run number 20, but despite him going just 2 1/3 innings, giving up 4 runs. From there, the bullpen held down the fort. Will Smith got jiggy with it, gave up a run in an inning. But Martin Perez, 4 2/3 innings, scoreless out of the bullpen. Jonathan Hernandez, a scoreless inning. And for the Texas Rangers, they had the deep ball working. Welcome back, Josh Young, 23rd home run of the season. You also had Mitch Garver and Jonah Heim both get their 18th home runs of the campaign. And the young gun, home run number 2 for Evan Carter. So, Texas looking to be able to make that playoff push. The Philadelphia Phillies looking to make a statement. They take 2 out of 3 from the Atlanta Braves, 6 of 5. They win in 10 innings for the Philadelphia Phillies. Pair of home runs off the bat of Nick Castellanos were big. 26th and 27th home runs of the campaign. Those come off of Bryce Elder. Goes just 3 2/3 innings. Jacked up his pitch count, walked 5, gave up those 2 home runs. From there, Jesse Chavez doing a third inning scoreless. You did have A.J. Minter give up two runs, one of which was earned in the extra frame as Brad Ann, Pierce Johnson, Rossy Iglesias before that all turned scoreless innings. And for the Atlanta Braves, no home runs in this game. A little bit of a rarity. Aaron Nola, pretty solid start, giving up two runs over the course of six innings. Jose Alvarado, Craig Kimbrell from there, both turned a scoreless inning. You did have Jeff Hoffman give up a pair of runs while getting just one out of the bullpen, but Gregory Soto gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and Matt Strom in the 10th inning gives up the ghost runner run, but past that was able to hold down the fort and was able to get his team to victory. And for the Chicago White Sox, this continues to be the worst team in the big leagues since the All-Star break. This team is now 20-41. They fall to the Washington Nationals by a count of 13-3 as Michael Kopech got the open in this one, and he gave up an unearned run in an inning as Zerpai is fielding in this one. From there, Tanner Banks, he gets it out, giving up three runs, two of which were earned. And the bulk guy, Jesse Schultz, he got six outs. He gave up six runs, all of which were earned, including a pair of home runs. Davey Garcia from there gives up two runs in 1 2/3 innings, including a home run. Luis Patino, two scoreless innings, though, and Lane Ramsey gives up a run in an inning as the White Sox, they went 0-12 with men in scoring position. So what they did well in this game was absolutely nothing. Joey Meneses, his 13th home run season. Lane Thomas, his 26th. Dom Smith, his 11th for Josiah Gray. Solid start, giving up one run over the course of five innings. He did have Thaddeus Ward give up two runs, one of which was earned in his two innings, but Jose Ferrar, Andres Machado both turned a scoreless inning, and the Washington Nationals, one game above 500 ever since the All-Star break, so they've been giving you a pretty solid effort. The Royals, for much of the season, have not been giving you a relatively great effort, but hey, they've now won five out of their last six games. They take down the Cleveland Guardians by a count of 6-2. As for the Royals, you had Zach Greinke go 3 2/3 innings, allowing two runs before Anel Zerpa in super-duper long relief. 5 1/3 innings scoreless. You had Nelson Velasquez go deep off of Lucas Giolito, 15th home run of the season, as for Giolito, gives up four runs, three of which were earned, including that home run. James Karinchak from there, pair of outs out of the bullpen before Michael Kelly gives up a run in an inning, and Aniel De Los Santos an unearned run, give it up by him as the Kansas City Royals, worst team on the run line all season long. They looked a little bit more solid here in the last seven or so days. So that was a very nice sign for them. And this is a game that is just going final. The Milwaukee Brewers, they get the job done against the St. Louis Cardinals. This by a count of 8-2. As for the Brew Crew, they did a very nice job of getting to Zach Thompson, who gave up four runs over the course of five innings. From there, Casey Lawrence gave up four runs in two innings. Jacob Barnes on the way, two scoreless innings. And for the Brewers, you had things working with Mr. Adrian Houser. Don't call him Doogie, because he gave up a one run in six innings. Joe Piamps from there does give up a run in his inning of work, but Bryce Wilson, J.B. Bukakis, they both give you a scoreless inning. As for the Brewers, you had Josh Donaldson, who has all of a sudden found a little bit of a new lease on life with the Brewers. He gets his 12th home run season, and Tyrone Taylor, a pair of home runs, 8th and 9th of the campaign. Tigers versus Dodgers for Wednesday, just getting started as I do this podcast. So we'll need to clean that one up on the show tomorrow. And if you've been taking a look at baseball over the last 3 days, you've been seeing a whole lot of overs. 206 overs, 172 unders. That is 54.5% to the over. Meanwhile, favorites, they're hitting at just 56% on the money line over the last 30 days. 220 and 173 straight up, with 51 different favorites being unable to cover -1.5 in the time span. Meanwhile, over the last 7 days, favorites, they're hitting at 40 and 36 straight up, and 10 different favorites have been unable to cover -1.5, with the over and the under are both at 36 apiece, with four pushes along the way. Meanwhile, if you're taking a look at the entire season to date in baseball, 1,088 overs, 1,087 unders. Doesn't get much more 50-50 than that. Favorites overall hitting at 57.6% on the money line, 1,296 and 953. And among these favorites, we have now seen a grand total of 327 be unable to cover -1.5. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on the board on Wednesday. Coming up next, let's take a look at what we've all got for Thursday, and now Sean Zerillo is gauging things with regards to the American League playoff picture, and what he's all taking a look at with regards to teams that are outside of the playoff race, and if he's handicapping those games. That's on the flip side here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man as Sean Zarrilla. He does absolutely amazing work over at Action Network, taking a look at the game of baseball. This guy does an incredible job all season long. He really does not take a day off, much like myself. I really commend all the work that he does with regards to his baseball modeling. And really, if you're looking for someone that does a great job, taking a look at some little things like how weather affects a lot of these totals, the roof being closed versus open, Sean does an incredible job of being able to factor that in as well. So got to give the credit where credit is due there, as Sean can be found on the old X at Sean's Roll, and that's S-E-A-N on that. And then the last name is spelled Z-E-R-I-L-O-O altogether. And for those that are fans of the UFC as well, he does a great job on that front as well. And Sean, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, Greg, appreciate the intro. Thank you for having me. Not too many games left here in the regular season. Not too many games left that matter necessarily, but really have my eye. You know, I can't stop talking about it. This remaining schedule that the Mariners and the Rangers basically have ostensibly like a best of seven playoff series potentially to get into the playoffs and get the final AL wildcard spot. So it seems like Toronto, based on the math, you know, the way Fangraphs Pacoda projected out, the fact that Texas and Seattle have to play each other really helps them quite a bit in terms of getting in. So I think one of Seattle or Texas eliminates the other, and we're going to get seven games to see who it is.
Yep, and that is going to be so exciting to take a look at back half this week into next week. We are going to have sort of those, for lack of a better term, perhaps loser leaves town matchups, unless if the Toronto Blue Jays just completely upchuck all over themselves. And what are you anticipating from the Texas Rangers and the Seattle Mariners moving forward? Because I thought it was very encouraging what we saw on Wednesday from the Texas Rangers, just completely pounding the tar out of the Boston Red Sox. And the main concern I have had with the Rangers has been health. And now getting Adolis Garcia along Josh Young back in the fold, I think is massive for this Rangers team.
I think it's an interesting contrast of styles. The Mariners have significantly better pitching. We've seen all these pitching injuries for the Rangers. And even guys like Nathan Eovaldi, you know, clearly not 100%. If the Rangers weren't in the thick of a race, the contract that Eovaldi has, I doubt that he would still be out there pitching right now. His velocity's down a few ticks. Stuff plus has fallen off substantially, and he's getting hit. They actually left him in a bit longer than they have in recent outings. You know, based on how I would project the starting pitching differential in that series, would certainly expect to be betting first five lines on the Mariners. If I'm betting, you know, one side of that matchup, they do have a better bullpen too, but I think the bullpens are obviously going to be closer than the starting pitching matchups are, outside of probably Jordan Montgomery. So yeah, definitely think the Mariners are going to have a clear starting and pitching advantage everywhere in that series. And I don't really know if the Rangers have sort of the strikeout pitchers in their bullpen. They certainly do, but their rotation is more, you know, Montgomery, Dunning, those are pitch to contact guys. And, you know, what really gets the Mariners is that all of their top hitters strike out at such a significant degree. So if you have power pitchers, you know, power pitchers in the bullpen, you can definitely get through that. But with pitch to contact guys, I think it's a little more difficult.
Yep, it certainly is going to be interesting to take a look at that series. And I really do think that right now it is interesting to take a look at the American League as a whole, as Sean's Role of Action Network does tremendous work over there, is joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, because with the injury to Felix Bautista for the Orioles, the offense has still been very solid. But I take a look at the American League, and I think that it's just very open. Obviously, there's a question mark as to who's going to be in, who's not going to be getting in. But I take a look at the American League, and I think that there's going to be a little bit more parity there rather than in the National League. And, I mean, I will say this with the National League. We've seen the Dodgers have it time again, have the best record in the National League and not come out. So we could see some upsets there. But I feel like you've got a very clear top two with the Dodgers and the Braves out there in the National League, whereas in the American League, it feels like it's much more tightly knit between all those teams that may or may not be making the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think people might be overlooking the Twins. They have Chris Paddock coming back soon. They have a couple other guys, Brock Stewart, who are throwing in the minors, who are power arms that they could add to their bullpen. Louis Varland's hitting 100 miles an hour. The Twins have some arms, and their house of horrors has been Yankee Stadium. That's not going to be an issue for them this season, so maybe not going to New York for the first time and getting eliminated in the playoffs by the Yankees will just help the Twins from a confidence perspective. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Twins went on a little run. They have a very deep team and people really overlook them. And Correa's been playing much better later in the year. So Twins definitely, I think, are a team who at the start of the playoffs, maybe right now, I'm going to start digging into futures prices, seeing if I can project any value. You know, something else to keep an eye on too, though, is the scheduling. And I believe last year, the American League teams in the first round essentially had an extra day off where they were able to use their top three or top two pitchers on full rest in games 4 and 5 of that five game divisional series. Now, I believe the National League has that scheduling advantage this year. So a team like the Phillies, who might be able to keep Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler on full rest in a five game series, that sort of boosts their profile a little bit, helps the Brewers a little bit. So just keep an eye on the schedule as we get closer to playoffs, because the leagues do not have equal scheduling when it comes to rest. There was an imbalance last year and they kept it this year for the other league. I don't know if they're going to keep that going forward. It's just a strange little quirk, but I think it actually impacts the lesser teams in the National League. I think it gives them more of a chance against the Braves.
And it's something that obviously is done for TV, so that way the Major League Baseball folks are able to stay on as much as humanly possible. They aren't going against the NFL quite as much, but to your point, very much of significance as well. If you've got something like Corbin Burns that's able to get an extra start for the Milwaukee Brewers, that's very, very significant, trying to take down an Atlanta Braves or an LA Dodgers team that has been able to mash all season long, as Sean Zerillo does great work over at Action Network, joining me on the Baseball Betting Show. And with regards to the postseason, it is going to be a lot of fun to take a look at, but we do have about 10 to 11 games left of the regular season. And as we know, we've got some games that involve like big playoff implications, like Blue Jays versus Yankees on Thursday. That's a massive game for the Blue Jays. Obviously, this Dodgers versus Giants series, the Giants, they are really sliding away with regards to the National League wildcard hunt. And if they want any hope of being able to stay in there, they need to get these wins. So that's going to be games of significance for them. And then we've seen series like the Nationals versus White Sox, where, let's call it what it is, the Nationals versus White Sox series, no playoff implications there. Are there any bets that you have been able to place on some of these games that might not be involving playoff implications? Because I just made light of that White Sox versus Nationals series, and I was able to find a little bit of money by just doing what I've been doing the second half of the season, continuing to fade a dead Chicago White Sox team while the Nationals seem to be giving some sort of effort here in the back half of the season.
Yeah, you know, in terms of Thursday's matchups, I really don't mind the Nationals. I want to play them in some sort of fashion against the Braves. They've hit left-handed pitching really well all year, and I've regularly bet them on the first five money line against left-handed pitchers. Obviously, Max Fried, you know, huge starting pitching projected advantage over Jake Irvin, but I think Jake Irvin is a pitcher who is going to be somebody who outperforms his underlying metrics over several seasons. He has a bit of deceptiveness in his approach that I think is sort of hidden in underlying pitch modeling metrics, under, you know, hidden in his actual like stats, strikeout walk numbers. His home run rate should improve a little bit. So I think Jake Irvin is just the guy who's difficult to project, going to probably outpitch his projections while he's sticking around in the big leagues. It may even improve, but really it's mostly about the Nationals hitting left-handed pitching. So maybe a first five team total over, or something with respect to the Nationals, you know, being able to put up some runs against Max Fried. I think that's definitely going to be something on my card with regards to Washington. And then probably, you know, Toronto definitely still in the thick of it. Jose Barrios has been pitching much better, especially of late. And Gerrit Cole, I keep a very close eye on pitching velocity and, as I said, underlying pitch modeling metrics. Gerrit Cole seems like he's wearing down. You know, he averaged 97 mile an hour in his fastball basically every start for his first 11 starts. And if you just follow the trend of the velocity line, he's really lost like a tick of velocity over the past month or so, past 6 weeks. So just after a long season, Gerrit Cole just getting a little bit worn down, maybe a little bit disinterested too, with the Yankees falling out of the playoff race. But Toronto plus 120 or better or so will probably be a bet for me as well. One with playoff implications, one without.
Absolutely. As joining me on the show, we do have Sean Zbrill, and that total of 7.5, I think, is so intriguing as well, because the Blue Jays, they've been such a befuddling team with their offense all season long, and it's been up and down for them, but I like them a little bit more with their offense on the road. And I do take a look at that total of 7.5, and even though the Yankees have had a rough time hitting all season long with that short porch out there in Yankee Stadium, I do think that that 7.5, just a little bit too low in this circumstance. I don't know if you agree slash disagree, but I feel like that total has come down just a tad bit too much, just because in Yankee Stadium, you can get a home run at any time with that short porch.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, Yankee Stadium actually does tend to play as more of a pitcher's park than a hitter's park. It just happens to have more home runs. So, you know, there's fewer hits, but more home runs. So more solo shots, essentially, is what it boils down to. But yeah, I projected it closer to 8. So over 7.5 at minus 110, I think, would be a bet for me. And the other thing to watch, though, Vlad Guerrero Jr., a late scratch for the Blue Jays on Wednesday. Just got to make sure he's going to be in the Blue Jays lineup for Thursday before you fire on either the Blue Jays or the over. That, you know, that would be the one caveat I would make. He was a surprising scratch before Wednesday.
Yeah, to your point, he got scratched like 40, 45 minutes before the game. So, I mean, for anyone that bet that overnight like I did, or even if you bet it like in the mid-afternoon, that was a little bit of a surprising scratch. Yeah. So, certainly do want to be taking note there. And I was talking about fading a dead team like the Chicago White Sox a little bit earlier. How about this, Bob, between the LA Angels and the Tampa Bay Rays, with Zach Eflin being about a minus 250 favorite against Griffin Canning of the Angels? And personally, I like what Griffin Canning has been able to do this year. I think that he's been just fine, but this is an Angels team that I would love to be able to take this plus number on them. But man, with no Shohei Ohtani, with no Mike Trout, with them putting like half their team on waivers, this has been a dead LA Angels team that I've just been going against for the longest of times. And Zach Eflin has been so good at home that this could be a spot where I'm going to be entertaining a run line play on the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm not sure how you slot this one, but it's hard to quantify an LA Angels team that just a month and a half ago was buying at the trade deadline, and now here they are looking like one of the saddest stories of baseball history.
So I'm actually interested in the under 7.5 here. I do like both pitchers, and Zach Eflin really over the, you know, last month or so, expected indicators, his pitch modeling metrics have really shined out. He's gotten his levels to like that sub three ace level territory. So I think Zach Eflin, maybe the Rays' best starter heading into the playoffs, seems to be in the best form of the guys that they have in their rotation. But Griffin Canning has been really good, as you mentioned. And, you know, I like him quite a bit, a guy I usually try to find ways to bet on, but I did project this line at minus 215. So I'm basically in line with the betting market. If you gave me a plus 240 on the Angels, I'd probably have to consider taking that. But right now, made this total around 7. So under 7.5 is likely going to be a bet for me.
Yeah, to your point, pretty much my minimum buy point as well as a plus 240. So I feel like we're in very much agreement there, as I mean, the hate, it should be there for the Angels. But if you go down to the point of a plus 240, then I think we do it. We have went a little bit too far. Sean's real. Does great work over at Action Network, is joining me on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do want to ask about this one as well, because the Brewers, right now, they're in the driver's seat in the NL Central. And the man that is going to be going on the bump on Thursday is so interesting, because you take a look at like the fielding independent, the underlying numbers. Wade Miley has not quite pitched to about the 3-4 ERA that he's had this season. And he's going up against someone in Miles Michaelis that he just can't stop giving up runs. If you exclude that start that he had against the Cubs where he got ejected in the first inning, he's given up 3-plus runs in 11 out of his last 12 starts. Total on this game is 8.5, and the Brewers are a slight underdog. I'm not sure how you view this game, but I do take a look at this spot, and I do think that this could be a good spot for the Cardinals to be able to get some runs if they get some of their guys back to full, because I saw that Nolan Arenado was on in the starting lineup yesterday, and that's something to be very mindful of. But I do think that there's going to be a bit of regression coming in for Miley, and Miles Michaelis has just been terrible in the second half of the season.
I would probably lean to the over here. I don't think there's going to end up being a bet for me on this game, but I would put the total around 8.7, so an over 8.5 of plus money would be a bet for me. I doubt you're going to get plus money on it with these two starters. So it's a pass. I make the Brewers a slight favorite of the full game. Cardinals a slight favorite of the first five innings. Comes down to the bullpen advantage for Milwaukee. So, you know, plus 105 or better on Milwaukee, I might consider betting just because of that bullpen edge, but also something you could potentially come in live too once Miley exits the game. So most likely a pass for me, but leans to Milwaukee in the over.
Yep, and right now we're seeing a lot of even money. I'm seeing a plus 103 out there on the Brewers. If we can get plus money on the Brewers, I'm with you. I think that that might be a little bit of a play for me as well. Would like to be able to see a little bit more of a plus rather than even as well. And is there anything else that you are going to be taking a look at for Thursday? Because we do have a few games that are off the board. The Giants not announcing starters at this point makes things very, very tricky for being able to handicap them. And it is a little bit of a smaller slate. But anything that you might be eyeing, whether that be a bet or maybe not a bet, but just something that you want to gauge in general.
I think I talked about all the potential bets I might have. The one thing I do want to mention is Grayson Rodriguez. You know, in terms of how I handicap all pitchers, keeping a close eye on the way guys go in and out of form, right? You think about Blake Snell, and Blake Snell was a guy I was betting against regularly over the first 2 months of the season. Had indicators that he had him as a replacement level pitcher, like a 5 ERA type pitcher. That's how bad his command was. But all it took was a few starts, you know, to see that he had evidently found a completely different level, that streak of 10 plus strikeouts that he had in the middle of the season. And from there, he just took off. And I bet him at Cy Young at 40-1. It's just a reminder to like keep an eye on the way pitchers go in and out of form, because they could be a drastically different level of effectiveness from one start to the next, you know, from one period of time to the next. And you don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis, but you can sort of see a trend line of how a guy is doing relative to who he was previously. And I would say over the past 6 weeks or so, past month or so, best pitcher in the American League, potentially Grayson Rodriguez. Best pitcher in the National League, potentially Zach Wheeler. I think those two guys have the best underlying pitch modeling metrics, not necessarily results, not necessarily, you know, expected FIP, expected results, any of that, just like what is coming out of their hand, the location that they have on those pitches. They seem to have the two best runs going in them right now. And it sort of aligns with the eye test too. And I've been betting on both of them regularly in the first five innings. So I don't know if we'll get an actual price on the Orioles in the first five innings, but I would make the Orioles around minus 190 against the Guardians with Grayson going against Xavion Curry. So pretty aggressive projection, but I think it is somewhat justifiable given how good Grayson has been, you know, in the past 6 weeks or so, 2 months or so. So Grayson Rodriguez is as high as I could be on him. AL Cy Young 2024 will probably not get a good enough number to bet it. I would imagine he'll be in that like 12-1 category with how good he's looked of late, you know, 15-1 maybe at best. And I would probably want something closer to 20-1. But yeah, Grayson Cy Young next season, I think absolutely within the cards. And Zach Wheeler, a pitcher I think you should be betting on or looking to bet on come playoff time.
And looking at some of these guys towards the second half of the season is so important as well. Another guy that I really like, Freddie Peralta of the Brewers. He was not good in the first half of the season. Second half of the year, this guy has been really awesome. Like even some like a Brandon Pfaadt. He hasn't been like amazing here in the second half. But if you look at the north of five ERA that he's got overall for the season, not indicative of how he's pitching right now. So I think that that's a tremendous point that you make on Grayson Rodriguez and gauging some of these young pitchers in general that maybe they got sent down to the minor leagues. They come back up and they look better the second time around. And Sean, you always look great. First time around, second time around, third time around on the podcast, every single time you join me. You do absolutely amazing work. So love to get people at home, know what's all on tap for you, and how people can follow everything that you do on social media and other platforms.
I appreciate your time, Greg. Thank you for having me. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean Zarillo. Everything I do will be posted up there. And just want to leave everybody with one final name, a kid who came up in the past 2 weeks who I think is a potential stud pitcher. I bet on him twice. I will be betting on him in his next start. Sawyer Gibson Long of the Detroit Tigers. This kid is elite stuff, and I think it makes the Tigers very interesting heading into 2024. I will be probably betting the Tigers win total over, maybe taking shots on them to win the division. I think the Tigers are ready to take a step forward next year, especially if they can figure out what to do with that Javi Baez contract. But if they're willing to spend money in the right places this offseason, I think they have enough pieces that they might be, you know, able to make a leap into the wild card race next year.
And if they can just get a clean bill of health for some of these young pitchers as well. Matt Manning deal with injury. Tarik Skubal deal with injury. I mean, you just go down the list of these guys that have been injured for the Tigers. If they could stay healthy, to your point, man, they've got a lot of good young star pitchers. Casey Mize didn't pitch at all this year. So yeah. I do think that there is a lot of upside there. And we always get a lot of great analysis when Sean joins. He does an absolutely amazing job over at Action Network. So always appreciate the time of Sean's role. Big thanks to him for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on all nine games on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. It is always great to get Sean Zarrillo of Action Network aboard. He does incredible work taking a look at the game of baseball. I know that the regular season of baseball is winding down. He's going to be doing an amazing job during the postseason, but for those of you that are looking for something outside of baseball, he also does a great job with the UFC as well. So, much like I do college basketball and baseball, he does baseball and UFC, does a great job modeling both of those sports. Every single time he joins this podcast, lends tremendous insights. So, big thanks to Sean for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @unit_81. We are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games, any interleague games. Those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. And let's get things started with that DK Network write-up pick as we look to stay hot with these. 9-1-9-2 on the betting board. It is the Milwaukee Brewers on the road facing off against the St. Louis Cardinals. Miles Michaelis is on the bump for the Cards, and Wade Miley is looking to have a party out there in St. Louis for the Brewers. The Brewers are anywhere between even money and plus 105, between minus 113 to minus 120 is the number on St. Louis. And half is the total. Over is minus 115, and the under is minus 105. And my write-up is going to be on the over. I set my total a little bit north of 9 at a 9.2. With Wade Miley, if you take a look at the raw numbers, he has been able to do a rock-solid job. He is posting up an 8-4 record, has been giving you a 3.38 ERA. The fielding independent and the advanced numbers show that he is doing for a whole lot of regression. He has given up 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, 2.9 walks per 9 innings, while getting just 5.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Good for a fielding independent of a 4.92. When you get to this late in the season, your fielding independent is more than 1.5 points higher than your ERA. Man, it's going to catch up to you. And I recognize that the St. Louis Cardinals have been a little bit all over the place with regards to their offense. This has been a bunch that they've really been a bottom eight offense since the beginning of the month of August. But I do think that they should be able to bust out here. And on top of that, with the St. Louis offense, you do need to be mindful that a lot of their struggles in mid to late August came when Lars Nootbaar was out of the fold. When Nootbaar was out for the final 13 games of August, the team was averaging only about 2.8 runs per contest. when he's been in the lineup since the beginning of the month of August. This has been an average to an above average lineup. Newt Barr has been able to give you right around about a 370 or so on base. Not a tremendous power hitter, but a solid power hitter. Now, you do also want to note that we did see Nolan Arenado out of the fold yesterday, and you're dealing with Nolan Gorman currently being injured. But, oh no, you still have a St. Louis Cardinals lineup that, as well as Contreras, has been able to give you darn near a 400 on base since the All-Star break. He's been able to slug out 20 home runs. Paul Goldschmidt, he's been able to do a nice job. 370 on base. He's providing 25 home runs. Richie Palacios, ever since he has gotten called up to the big leagues, he's had an incredible slugging percentage, a 571 slug going into yesterday. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, ever since they traded for Carlos Santana, things have been on the up and up with this offense as well. Overall for the season, they've had the second worst batting average in the National League. They've been a bottom four team with regards to runs per contest, but that first series, which they had Carlos Santana, that was at the back half of July, last series of July against the Atlanta Braves on, his team has been averaging right around 5.2 runs per contest. This is over a sample size of north of 40 games. In that time span, they've been in the bottom five with regards to home runs, which is what Carlos Santana was supposed to help out with, but 10th with regards to on-base percentage. We really have been seeing Willy Adames stepping up for the team. Going into yesterday, in his last 30 days, about a 340 on base. Not necessarily providing an amazing average or anything like that, but finding a way to be able to move line. And then you've had the young guys, Sal Frelick, Andrew Marisario, both be able to hit above a 260, both be able to give you north of a 330 on base. Now when you've got guys like Joey Weimer, Blake Perkins, Tyrone Taylor, guys like this out there in the fold, it's been a little bit less effective, but Mark Canha's done a solid job for this team. Do be mindful that Christian Yelich might be out of the fold for the Milwaukee Brewers, but the good news is you get to go up against Miles Michaelis of the St. Louis Cardinals, who has been absolutely horrible. If you take out of the fold that game where he got tossed in the first inning against the Chicago Cubs, he has given up 3-plus runs in 11 out of his last 12 starts. If you do take a look at the fielding independent number, it would indicate that he's gotten a little bit unlucky, as he's got a fielding independent that's more around a 4.33 in comparison to his 4.84 ERA, giving up about one home run, 1.8 walks per nine innings this year. But he gets fewer than six strikeouts per nine innings. In the second half of the season, his ERA has been right in the neighborhood of about six. Has not been great, to say the least. So I do think that the Brewers should be able to get to him. And then they go up against a bullpen of the Cardinals that, since the beginning of the month of July, 24th in the league with regards to ERA. Ryan Helsley is pretty much the only guy in the bullpen that's been able to give you a sub-4 ERA as far this season that's currently healthy, because Jojo Romero is currently on the injured list. You're having to trust in so many guys like Ryan Tepera, Andrew Suarez, Drew Verhaeghe, and Matthew Liberatore is now a part of the bullpen. You just go on and on with regards to untrustworthy guys. And I will say, for the Brewers, they have been number 2 in the National League with regards to bullpen ERA since the beginning of the month of July. Obi Miller, Joe Piamps, your closer Devin Williams, Abner Uribe, these guys all giving you a sub-250 ERA. But when you do trot out there, someone like an Andrew Chafin, you always have a little bit of a roll of the dice there. So I do think that there should be plenty of run scoring in this game. Did set my total at 9.2. My DK Network write-up pick is on the over, and I think that Wade Miley should be a favorite in this spot. He's doing for regression, but I think that even with him regressing, he's still better than Miles Michaelis. Set the Brewers at a minus 113, so looking at the Brewers on the money line, and my write-up pick, that is going to be on this total over. 903, 904 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves are on the road facing off against the Washington Nationals as Jake Irvin goes for the Nats, and Max Fried is on the bump for Atlanta. Atlanta's anywhere between a minus 242 to a minus 265 favorite. Anywhere between plus 205 to a plus 215 is your number on Washington. 9 to 9.5 is the total. On the 9.5, under is minus 125. The over is plus 105 on the 9. Over is minus 120. And the under is even. I did set my total at 8.9. I'm going to be taking a look at this total under. I do think that Max Fried going to be able to go out and have a relatively nice start. It's been a little bit stop and go for him this year because he did miss much of the middle part of the season due to injury, but seems to be rounding back into form. 3 runs or fewer surrendered in each out of his last 5 starts. The strikeout numbers are back up, 6-plus punch-outs in 4 out of his last 5 starts. 3.10 fielding independent, 2.64 ERA. has given up just 2 walks per 9 innings, has given up less than a home run per 9 innings. He has been rock solid for the team all season long. And for Max Fried, he's always had relatively good home and road splits. And I mean, this guy has been able to do an exceptional job on the road this year. .74 ERA, giving up 2 home runs in 41 and a third innings on the road. I know that he has faced off against the Washington Nationals a little bit this year, and he's had great success going up against the Washington Nationals throughout his career. This year has only faced them for 3 1/3 innings. So small sample size there, but all in all, I do think that he's going to be able to do a nice job in this rodeo going up against the Nationals team that they do a good job of being able to put the ball in play. They don't strike out a lot, but you also have a national team that's in the bottom three in the big leagues with regards to home runs on a per at-bat and a per-game basis. Love what Lane Thomas is doing. He's been able to hit 26 home runs. He's been able to do a nice job being able to move the line for this team as he, along with Joey Meneses, both hitting between about a 270 to 280, but you really don't have anyone for the Nationals with above a 328 on base, which is what you're able to get out of Meneses. A lot of guys hitting between about a 250 to 260. C.J. Abrams just below that at a 247, but and you've got Kiber Ruiz, Luis Garcia, Eliermo Vargas, along with John Smith, all in that fold with Ruiz. He has been able to give you about 18 to 19 home runs, and Jacob Young has been able to hit about a 250 as well, but again, you got a lot of guys that they just make a lot of weak contact, and for the Atlanta Braves, there is not a lot that is weak about this team, as you got 5 separate guys on this team with over 30 home runs as far this season. Matt Olson is up to 52, and then you've got between 35 and 39 out of Ronald Acuña Jr., Marcell Ozuna, Austin Riley. Acuña is 1 home run short of a just epic 40-60 season with a 416 on base. And I mean, the lesser guys like Sean Murphy, Eddie Rosario, these guys are hitting 260-plus, and they're both giving you 20-plus home runs. Orlando Arcia is about a 320 on base with 17 home runs. It's absolutely insane what this team is doing, and the Braves back that up with the second-best bullpen in the National League with regards to ERA. The likes of Joey Menez, Kirby Yates, you're able to throw in the Rocio Iglesias, giving you a sub-3.5 ERA. Jackson Stevens is a long guy. These guys have been incredible, and for the Washington Nationals, even if you do get a good start out of Jake Irvin, you're always rolling the dice with this bullpen now. The likes of Hunter Harvey, Kyle Finnegan, and Jordan Weems have been able to do a solid job. They've been able to give you a sub-3.4 ERA. But for Jake Irvin, I do fear that that regression is going to be coming in. He did give up 4 runs in his last start against the Brewers prior to that. He gave up like 3 runs of fear in 11 out of his last 13 starts. 4.34 ERA. 5.29 fielding independent, giving up 4 walks, 1.5 home runs, and 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. I don't think that this is going to be able to fly against an Atlanta Braves team that has just been pounding the ball, and I do think that the Nationals are going to have a tough time being able to get to Max Fried in this ordeal. So seeing the 9, going to be taking a look at the under. And with regards to the run line, we're seeing that Atlanta Braves run line anywhere between minus 145 to a minus 162. I was willing to go up to a minus 168, so we're going to have the Braves run line and the 9 under. 905, 906 on the betting board. It is the Philadelphia Phillies, and they play host to the New York Mets as David Peterson, no relation, is on the bump for the Mets. And Rangers Flores is on the bump for the Phillies. And between 8.5 and 9 is the total. On the 8.5, over and under are both at minus 110. On the 9, over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Under is anywhere between even minus 110. You have to think that that 8.5 is a little bit of a misprint, by the way, over at Caesars. Meanwhile, with the Phillies, in between minus 160 to minus 180 is their number. And between plus 143 to a plus 152 is your number on the Mets. Hey, if you've got access to the 8.5, I'd be taking a look at the over, but I did somebody tell it an 8.7. Personally, on the 9, I am going to be taking a look at the subtle under with Ranger Suarez. He's been able to do a very solid job of holding down the fort as his strikeout numbers are up just a little bit this year. He's been able to get in the neighborhood about 8 to 8.5 strikeouts for 9 innings. He's not going to completely blow you away, but he's doing a solid job there. Still pitches to a little bit of contact. You'd like to see him be lower than the 3.5 walks. For 9 innings that he has applied, but the opponent's batting average on balls in play is a 324. I think that he's gotten a little bit unlucky on that front and should be able to iron out. He's got about a 380 fielding independent compared to about a 380 ERA. He's given up 3 runs of fear in each out of his last 5 starts. Really like the form that he's coming into. And for David Peterson, it's just all about finding out how to be able to pitch on the road, because David Peterson has actually been quite good in New York, and all in all, these pitchers for New York, like he, Tyler McGill, Kodai Senga, they all have some pretty demonstrative home and road splits, and Peterson seems to be the king of them. 318 home ERA, 735 ERA on the road. On the road, Mr. Peterson has been giving up about 1.8 to 1.9 home runs per 9 innings, and home less than a home run
per nine innings. So he is going to need to iron that out a little bit. But I like what I've seen out of him a little bit more recently. It has been a tad bit more topsy-turvy, but you know what? He has given up three runs or fewer in three out of his last four starts. It feels like now that he's been able to just get a full-time role as a starter, as he's been utilized as a bullpen piece and then a starter and then back to the bullpen and then back to being a starter, now he's just been able to get on a routine of pitching every 5 days. It's been very beneficial for him, and he's backed up by a Mets lineup that they are able to hit the deep ball. You still have Pete Alonso, who's been able to do a really solid job, giving you about 45 home runs this season. And for Alonso, he's got about a 305 on base at home. On the road, this is closer to about a 350. So that's been solid. Now what you need is for the bottom of the fold to be able to help you out. You've got the likes of Brett Batty, Mark Vantinos, Rafael Ortega, Jonathan Arruz, Omar Narvaez. These guys have all been hitting a 225 or lower, not giving you a lot with regards to on base. Heck, Francisco Alvarez, when he's been out there, north of 20 home runs this season, but he's been giving you a sub-300 on base as well. Been very impressed by what I've been seeing out of Brandon Nimmo, north of a 350 on base. He's hovering right around 25 home runs, so that has been good, and the Phillies are going to have the upper hand with regards to bullpen, as well as you've had Jose Alvarado be able to supply a sub-2 ERA this year. The likes of Matt Strom, along with Jeff Hoffman, they've come out of nowhere, and they've been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. The Phillies have been a top-10 team with regards to bullpen ERA all season long. Meanwhile, the Mets have been a bottom-10 team, though Adam Ottavino, Brooks Raley have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, the balance of power has been very good for this team, because there was a point this year where it was pretty much Kyle Schwarber pounding out the home run ball, and then you had a little bit out of Nick Castellanos and not much else. Now you've got Bryce Harper, who's been able to emerge. He had just three home runs in his first 58 games of the season. Take a look at what he's been able to do over his last 60 games. He has been able to pound out 16 home runs. You've been able to have a lot of production out of Trey Turner recently. He is now up to 26 home runs this season for Trey Turner. Last 30 days, 400 on base with 12 home runs. He's cooled down a little bit in the last week or so, but all in all, he's doing a solid job. Bryson Sada is hitting for about a 285. Brandon Marsh has been able to do a good job for the team. Heck, Johan Rojas has been able to step up, so that has been absolutely massive for the Philadelphia Phillies. And with the Phillies, I do think that they've got a lot of nice edges in this game, and I like the way that they are pitching. Plus, it's getting a little bit cooler out there in the northeast part of the country. So I do think that with the way that the Mets just have not been able to move the line all season long, it is going to be able to keep the score a little bit lower. And I do think that David Peterson is going to figure out a little bit more with regards to pitching on the road, but at bullpen, still relatively rough. With the money line of the Phillies, I set that at minus 183. I was willing to take pretty much any sort of a plus number with regards to this run line. I set it at a plus 102. I'm right now seeing between about a plus 115 to a plus 120. So going to be willing to settle on that Phillies run line. And here at the 9, going to be taking a look at this total under 907, 908 on the betting board. The Pittsburgh Pirates are on the road facing off against the Chicago Cubs, as the professor and Kyle Hendricks is on the bump for the Cubs. And you don't mess with a Johan Oviedo is going to be on the bump for the Pirates. And with the Pirates, you're finding them as an underdog of between plus 140 and plus 148. Anywhere between minus 158 to a minus 166 is your number on the Cubs. No run line because you've got no total in this game. Wrigley Field games typically have this happen to you, but because this is going to be a nighttime game, really not a lot of wind going on with regards to this Cubs game. It's going to be going sort of directionally throughout the night. You're probably going to get like 5 mph winds, but should not have too much of an impact on a game, which is going to have like 70 degree temperatures. So I did set my total to where it ain't half or less. I'm going to be taking a look at the over, a 9 or higher to the under. I don't think that it's really going to have a positive or a negative effect on these two pitchers. And when it comes to the Cubs, I did set them on the money line at a minus 177. If I'm able to get a plus 110 or higher, I would be willing to entertain a run line as well. For the professor and Kyle Hendricks, he's always been, throughout his career, a better home pitcher than he has been a road pitcher. That was up until about 2, maybe 3 years ago, and we've seen a complete and utter reversal. With Hendricks, he does a great job of being able to induce soft contact, giving up less than home run per 9 innings, despite the fact that he gets just 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Command has been on point, 1.6 walks per 9 innings, but to the point of his home in the road splits, 441 home ERA, 308 ERA on the road, as he has been giving up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings when he's been at home on the road, less than 0.7 home runs per 9 innings. Meanwhile, for Johan Oviedo, 14 losses, that is one of the top marks out there in the National League. He's pitched better than that, in my opinion. On the road for Oviedo, he's given up about 1.1 home runs per 9 innings. not a strikeout master by any stretch of the imagination, getting just under 8 strikeouts for 9 innings, but has been able to do a stable job, I think is the best way of putting it, as he's been giving up right around about 0.9 home runs per 9 innings, 4.27 ERA, 4.39 fielding independent coming in, having allowed 3 earned runs or fewer each out of his last 5 starts, did allow more than 3 total runs against the Cardinals, but there were some defensive shenanigans that caused him to give up some unearned runs, and he's backed up by a bullpen that is honestly relatively solid. You've got the likes of David Benar, Ryan Barucci, you're able to throw in there Carmen Moldazinski, guys like this being able to give you a sub-3.75 ERA. Jose Hernandez has had a little bit of an issue here in the back half of the campaign, but on all these guys, done a nice job of being able to hold down the fort end for the Cubs. Having Ad Barrels lay out of the fold, that is very much a detriment to this team, but he's still been able to get some very good production out of some of these guys. Like Danny Palencia has been a little bit up and down, but I like the way that he and Julia Merriweather have been able to round into form for this team and for the Cubs. What has really been beneficial has been just the balance that you have with this lineup. You've got your main guy in Cody Bellinger. He leads the way with 25 home runs entering into yesterday, hitting north of a 300. But, I mean, pretty much 1 through 9, whenever you do not have in the starting lineup Patrick Wisdom, they're all able to give you an on-base percentage of north of a 310. You've got so many equals with this lineup, and you got a lot of guys hitting between about 18 to 22 home runs as well. I was mentioning Wisdom, Christopher Morel. When he's been out there, Jameer Candelario, he's currently one of those gentlemen on the injured list. Christopher Morel, C.A. Suzuki, Ian App, all these guys been able to slug out 18-plus home runs. You have an on-base percentage of pretty much a north of 330 out of all these guys, aside from obviously Wisdom and then Christopher Morel. So these guys have been able to do a solid job being able to move the lineup for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Just don't have a lot of offense out of this team. Since the beginning of the month of May, they have been the lowest scoring team in the National League. Now, they do have Ke'Bryan Hayes, Brian Reynolds, a pair of guys earning right around about a 270 to 275 on base is amazing with them, but you have been able to have Reynolds give you 20-plus home runs. And then Ke'Bryan Hayes, he's the only guy not named Reynolds, along with Jack Swinisky, with north of 12 home runs on the roster. That's how bad things have been. You've got a lot of young guys that just have not been able to step up for the team. Akilah Williams, Henry Davis, a former number one overall pick, Joshua Palacios. You go down the list of guys giving you a sub-320 on base, Andy Rodriguez. So you just have not been able to get a lot of power. You haven't really been able to get these guys on base as well. So interesting situation here. I would be willing to lay this Cubs money line as of right now, but I'm waiting to see what we get on the run line at plus 110 or greater. I will be willing to dive in on a run line of the Chicago Cubs, laying that run and a half. And with regards to the total 8.5 or less, going to be taking a look at the over and a 9 or higher to the under. 9-0, 9-9, 9-10 on the betting board. It is the San Francisco Giants, and they are on the road facing off against the LA Dodgers. It is to be determined on the bump for the Dodgers, and it is all to be determined who's going to be on the bump for the San Francisco Giants. They really didn't do us a lot of favors here. This game is completely off the board, but it looks like you are going to be getting Keaton Wynn, who is going to be getting the start here for the San Francisco Giants, and it's just a complete unknown for the Dodgers. I am thinking that you're going to be getting Emmett Sheehan in some form or capacity. It could be a spot where you've got, like, Caleb Ferguson, insert your favorite bullpen arm here, has the opener, and then from there you do get Sheehan. And if that is the case, we'll be willing to set the Dodgers right around about a minus 170 favorite, a plus 115 or greater. We'll be looking at the run line with a total to where a 9 or less. I'd be taking a look at the over 9.5 prior to the under. If it is a piecemeal game for the Dodgers, a lot of these guys that have been in bulk have not been too bad. Sheehan does have north of a 5 ERA, just has not been able to do a relatively amazing job with regards to command, but even something like a Ryan Yarbrough has been very good for this team, not giving up a lot of walks. And for the Dodgers, since the beginning of the month of July, they've got an ERA that is a full half a point better than any other bullpen in the big leagues. You've got a big three that has been absolutely incredible for this team. Caleb Ferguson, Evan Phillips, Rosario Gratterall, all with a sub-260 ERA. And now you're getting back in the fold Shelby Miller. He's had a sub-2 ERA this season. Ryan Brazier, since coming over from the Boston Red Sox, entering into yesterday, a 0.77 ERA. And they have done a great job of picking up guys off the scrap heap and making them very good bullpen pieces. So no shortage of those arms. Just all about what you get out of some of these both guys, and you do want to be avoiding Gavin Stone, in my opinion. For the Dodgers, he has not been too great, to say the least. And for Keaton Wynn, he's been able to do a solid job of being able to hold down the fort, as he's been one of those guys that has been in and out of the fold. Now, you do want to note that there's a little bit of a strain of COVID that it seems like is going around with the San Francisco Giants. If he can't go, and instead you get someone like a Rod Stripling, that really wouldn't cause me to have too much of an adjustment with regards to my handicap, because when you do get these guys like Wynn, Ross Stripling, Sean Manaea, they just have not been able to go too long for the team, and it's a Giants team that is typically going with a wholesale approach with regards to their pitching staff. And for the Giants, to their credit, they've been a top two team with regards to bullpen ERA since the beginning of the month of May themselves, as you've got Ryan Walker, both of the Rogers brothers, John Brebbia. You're able to go down the list of guys that have been able to fire in a sub 3.25 ERA. Luke Jackson has been able to do a solid job. Obviously, you've got the closer in Camilo Duval. The biggest thing for the Giants is they just have not been able to hit here in the back half of the season. They had a nice series against the Colorado Rockies, but when you go to Coors Field, that always elevates your offensive numbers. But for the San Francisco Giants, ever since the All-Star break, hitting a .230 as a collective, averaging about 0.9 home runs per game. Wilmer Flores, since the All-Star break, hitting a .300 with 14 home runs. But you just got a plethora of guys that are giving you a .300 on base or lower ever since the All-Star break. Patrick Bailey, J.D. Davis, Blake Sauvel, throw in there Brandon Crawford, Mitch Haniger. You just go down the list. These guys aren't really hitting for average. Other than J.D. Davis, all these guys have three home runs or fewer as well. Lamont Wade Jr. has been able to do a relatively solid job with six bombs and about a .330 on base plus all-star break. But these guys have not been able to hit righties. They really haven't been able to hit lefties. And then with the L.A. Dodgers, you've got one of the most fearsome lineups that you're going to find in the big leagues. Mookie Betts, ever since the beginning of the month of August, darn near a .500 on base with 39 home runs overall for the season. Max Muncy, he's been able to give you 35 home runs this season. With the Dodgers, they just do a great job at the plate of being able to take their base. They are number one in the big leagues with regards to walks drawn on a per at-bat and a per-game basis. So even though they're not the most amazing team with regards to their batting average, you're now up to eighth. They've been able to do a nice job of improving on that front. They just do such a good job of being able to get on base, and that allows those home runs that you do get out of their main two, along with J.D. Martinez, Freddie Freeman, to just be worth more for Martinez. He has been in and out of the fold the last month or so, but he had a multi-home run game a few days ago. He's hitting about a .270, 29 home runs. His home runs per at-bat rate is right around 1 every 13. James Zeltman has been able to pick it up, so I do think that the Dodgers should be a relatively sizable favorite. And something like Amichian versus Keaton Wynn, Ross Stripling, something like that, I'd be saying the Dodgers right around about a minus 170 would be willing to take plus 115 or higher with regards to that run line, and then 9 or less to the over, 9.5 or higher to the under, 9, 11, 9, 12 on the betting board. The LA Angels are on the road facing off against the Tampa Bay Rays as Zach Eflin, no, it's not be Eflin, awful, for the Tampa Bay Rays, and one Mr. Griffin Canning is on the bump for the Angels. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 8, under is minus 120, the over is even on the 7.5. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 115. The under is anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 110. The Rays are anywhere between minus 240 to minus 258 favorites, and between plus 205 to plus 216 is your number on the Angels. And if you're looking at the run line of the Rays, that's anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 110, and that's where I find the value. I was willing to go up to a minus 125 with this Rays run line. I would need, as I was alluding to with Sean Cirillo, closer to about a plus 240 to be able to entertain the Angels on the money line for Zach Eflin. He has just been really Eflin good when he has been at home thus far this season. As for Zach Eflin, 11-4 at home, 4-4 on the road. The ERA has seen a much smaller divide than we had at the beginning part of the season, but in both locations, he's given up about a home run per nine innings, 3.28 home ERA, 3.65 ERA, but all in all, he's just found a way to be able to get his team's victories when he's been at home, and his command has been absolutely tremendous, 1.2 walks per nine innings. While he's got a 3.44 ERA, he's actually got a 3.07 fielding independent, and now he goes up against an Angels team that, to their credit, they were able to get some runs up on the board yesterday, but all in all, it has been a really rough go of it for this Angels team. It's just a completely unrecognizable roster, as Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Mickey Moniak. You go down the list of guys that are out of the fold. It's Brandon Drury and a whole bunch of skeleton pieces. Drury has been able to give you 20 home runs thus far this season, about a 300 on base. And I will say, Noah Schunel, he's been able to give you about a 400 on base as well. But Schunel was legitimately one of two guys in the starting lineup yesterday for the Angels with north of a 310 on base. That's really tough. They're looking to Joe Adell to set fire to the rain. He has never been able to do so. Brett Phillips, Eduardo Escobar, these guys have really been struggling. Meanwhile, for the Tampa Bay Rays, they're dealing with Jose Siri being out of the fold, and obviously the Wander Franco situation, less than savory. But ever since Wander Franco has been out of the fold since the middle of August, August 13th to be exact, the team is averaging north of 5.3 runs per contest. You still have six different guys that will be able to give you at least 18 home runs, all but one of them entered Indy yesterday, hitting at least a 249, and they do a really nice job of being able to hit righties, like Isak Paredes, 29 home runs thus far this season, 25 of them have come against right-handed pitching. You've got Brandon Lau, who's been able to have a nice second half of the season. I see the last few years has been just in and out of the fold dealing with injuries, but for Lau, you take a look at him over the last 3 days, hitting about a 275. He's had four home runs over the last 14 games, so he's starting to round into form as well. Yandy Diaz has been able to give you about a 400 on base, and then for the LA Angels, not only do you have not much of a lineup, but this bullpen, it is really, really bad. Matt Moore was really your top reliever. He got put on waivers. You've had Carlos Estevez have well north of a 5 ERA since the All-Star break. And then you've got the likes of Jonathan Diaz, Aaron Loop, Ben Joyce, Jimmy Erget, Jose Soriano. Really, other than Joyce, everyone's providing well north of a 4 ERA. Meanwhile, for the Tampa Bay Rays, even though they have been dealing with some ailments with regards to their starting rotation along with the bullpen, as Jason Adam is currently out of the fold, you still have guys like Pete Fairbanks, Colm Pouchet, Jake Diekman, who they picked up from the White Sox. All these guys were able to do a pretty incredible job going into yesterday. They had allowed just four earned runs in their last 40 innings via that bullpen, and I do think that Zach Eflin going to be able to turn a good start in. To the point that Sean's role is making, I do like what Griffin Canning is able to bring to the table. The struggles of the Angels are not the fault of Griffin Canning, who's been able to do a good job of being able to get some strikeouts. He's been able to provide about 10 strikeouts and 2.2 walks per 9 innings. He's had a little bit of a problem with the deep ball, 1.6 home runs per 9 innings. That's a big reason why his 4.42 ERA is right around a 4.33 fielding dependent, but he has given up 2 runs or fewer in 3 out of his last 5 starts. No more than 4 runs allowed in any of these starts for Mr. Canning. 4.08 road ERA compared to a 3.85 ERA on at home, but I just take a look at this ordeal, and I think that he could lend a relatively solid start. And then the bullpen just poo-poos this one, which is why I did set my total at a 7.9. Going to be taking a look at the over. And with the Rays, I'm willing to lay up to a minus 125 on that run line. 9-13, 9-14 on the betting board. The Toronto Blue Jays are on the road facing off against the New York Yankees as Garrett Cole goes for the Yankees. And Jose Barrios is on the bump for the Jays. The Jays are anywhere between about a plus 114 to a plus 121 underdog. Between minus 131 and minus 140 is your number on the Yankees. 7.5 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is anywhere between even and minus 110. And I said my total at an 8. I'm going to be taking a look at the over now. Do be mindful of this. We were talking about it with Sean Zerill, the fact that for the Blue Jays, it was a very late scratch with Vlad Guerrero Jr. And when a guy gets scratched like 45 minutes before the game like that, and now you've got yourself an evening game here on Thursday, I don't think that he's going to be in the fold, so this has been accounted for with regards to the line that I made where I need at least a plus 155 to take a shot on the Blue Jays. I'm going to be taking a look at Garrett Cole in this spot for the Blue Jays. They have been able to do a better job with their offense when they have been on the road rather than when they have been at home, and just have a lot of equals with regards to this lineup, as you've got Bo Bichette, Kevon Biggio, Matt Chapman, Whit Merrifield, Kevin Kiermaier, Alejandro Kirk, George Springer, all between a 320 to a 340 on base. You really don't have any of these guys that is able to bust through and give you north of about 19 to 20 home runs in the case of Springer along with Bo Bichette, but he'll do a pretty solid job moving the line. You're probably going to be seeing a little bit more out of the likes of Davis Schneider along with Spencer Horowitz, who, I mean, these are two guys who have been able to give you north of a 350 on base as far as the season. They've been just fine, and it is better than what the Yankees are throwing out there with their lineup. As I mean, for the New York Yankees, if you took a look at the lineup yesterday, 4 through 9, all hitting a 219 or lower going into the game, and nobody other than Esteban Florel with north of a 295 on base. I mean, this is just absolutely horrible. I mean, Austin Wells, Jake Bowers, Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswaldo Peraza, Florel, Anthony Volpe. You just go down the list of guys that can't hit for this team. Now, they do have some home run power because you do have Stanton, Volpe, along with Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, who have been able to give you at least 20 home runs. And Gleyber Torres has been fine. Give you about a 345 on base. Aaron Judge Judge doing all that he can to be a move line for the team. DJ LeMay, who's been a tad bit better recently, but I do think that this is a spot where you just need to be trusting in Gerrit Cole and the home and road splits throughout the career of Jose Berríos. Now, credit where credit is due for Mr. Berríos. He has been much better on the road this year than he has been in the past. If you take a look at the career numbers for Jose Berríos, he posts up an ERA about 1.2 points higher when he's on the road rather than when he's been at home. This year, 3.11 home ERA, 3.83 road ERA. You're able to live with that. At home this year, he's been giving up about 1.2 home runs per nine, and he's on the road in that neighborhood as well. So very comparable numbers on that front. Meanwhile, for Gerrit Cole, he has been giving up the deep ball a little bit more at home rather than on the road. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise, as I mean, when you got the short portion in Yankee Stadium, that's just going to happen for you. But I mean, for Gerrit Cole, he's been able to do a nice job all season long as he has now given up a grand total of 6 earned runs over the course of his last 5 starts. Granted, he got to face off against the Pirates, the Detroit Tigers twice, so he's went up against a little bit of an easy street competition in the last few weeks. 2.81 ERA, 3.30 fielding independent, but all in all, he's been able to do a nice job, and he's been able to get the Yankees to the window recently, winning all 5 of his last 5 starts. He's been really the lone guy to be able to do so for this team. Strikeout numbers are a little bit down, but still getting right around 10 punch-outs per 9, and he's posting up about a 3.01 home ERA, so I'm going to be willing to trust him. Gerrit Cole in this ordeal, I recognize that obviously the Blue Jays have a ton to play for, but the Yankees, they don't want their first sub-500 year in an eon, so I did set my total at an 8. I think we went a little bit too low with regards to this total, even though you do have 2 of the better bullpens in the big leagues. For the Blue Jays, this team has been a top-7 bullpen with regards to ERA since the beginning of the month of July. You've got the 2 guys that the team was able to pick up from the Cardinals in Jordan Hicks, along with Genesis Cabrera, and then you've got the likes of Eric Swanson, Tim Mays, Jordan Romano. That'll be able to give you a sub-3.3 ERA. Flip side for the Yankees, Michael King being utilized as a starter has hurt them a little bit, but still have the likes of Wandy Peralta, Clay Holmes, Tommy Kahnle, and Nick Ramirez, who have all been able to give you a sub-3.3 ERA, but I do think that this total just a little bit too low. I did set my total at an 8, even if Vlad Guerrero Jr. doesn't play in this game. Going to be taking a look at the over. And with the Yankees, set them -156 on the money line, seeing in the mid-130s. I don't want to roll the dice on a run line in the spot, but we'll take the Yankees on the money line and willing to go with this 7.5 over. 9.15, 9.16 on the betting board. The Baltimore Orioles are on the road, facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. It's undecided who's going to be on the bump for the Guardians. Meanwhile, one good ace in Rodriguez is going to be on the bump for the Orioles. We were thinking before that it was going to be Xavion Curry that was going to be getting the start for the Cleveland Guardians, and if you do get Mr. Curry going up against Grayson Rodriguez, I did set the Orioles on the money line at a -146 and made my total an 8.7 to where an 8.5 or less. Going to be taking a look at the over, a 9 or higher. Going to be taking a look at this total under. Now, the biggest trepidation that you do have with the Cleveland Guardians in this ordeal is that they are dead stinking last in the big leagues with regards to home runs. You've had Jose Ramirez be able to give you north of 20 home runs this far this season, but I mean, really, other than he and Josh Naylor, nobody else on this team has north of 12 home runs thus far this season, and the Guardians were able to persevere through that and make the playoffs last year, but that was because you had many more guys being able to move the line, like Stephen Kwan, Ahmed Rosario, Andrés Giménez, Will Brannon. These guys were all hitting at least a 270 for this team. Right now, the only of those guys that's hitting above a 270 is Stephen Kwan, Ekamendi Rosario. Right now, playing for the LA Dodgers, you've had likes of Cole Calhoun, Ramon Laureano not be able to provide a lot for this offense. And now they have to go up against someone in Rodriguez that has just been absolutely shoving recently. And I mean, as we were talking about with Sean's role with Grayson Rodriguez, you really can't stick too much stock into the full season numbers, because if you take a look at the full season numbers, Rodriguez hasn't been too great this far this season, as he's posting up about a 4.53 ERA with a 4.13 fielding independent. That's like an average pitcher, but if you look at what he's done over the last 10 starts, since he has resurfaced at the big league level, this is after his first start after resurfacing against the LA Dodgers, a 2.21 ERA, 2.91 fielding independent, allowing 3 home runs in 61 innings. His strikeouts are a little bit down. He's been getting more around about 8.3, 8.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. But with the decrease in strikeouts has come a big giant increase in command as well. Just 16 walks over 61 innings as well. He has been tremendous, and he is backed up by an Orioles team that since the beginning of the month of July, even with Felix Bautista out of the fold for the last few weeks or so, this has been a top top 16 with regards to bullpen ERA. Ciano Perez, Jacob Webb, Danny Colomb have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. Yennier Cano has been tremendous, and when it comes to this Baltimore Orioles lineup, as I always say with this team, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Typically, you'll have Adley Rutschman or Gunnar Henderson at the leadoff spot. When it is Rutschman, he gives you a 365 on base, providing 19 home runs. And then from there, like everyone sans Aaron Hicks are like 2 through 8 in the lineup. They all give you an on-base percentage between about a 315 to a 338. Really nothing more, really nothing less other than Hicks. So if you look at the season-long numbers, he's more in that fold. But since he's gotten to Baltimore, he's been able to provide more like a 385 on base. He just could not find it with the Yankees. And now he's got a new lease on life. But you got Henderson along with Anthony Santander, both providing 27 home runs, a 325 to a 330 on base. Austin Hayes hitting a 280 with a 328 on base. He's providing 16 home runs. Cedric Mullins, 15 home runs, despite the fact that he's missed like 40 or so games a season, 320 on base. He's able to swipe some bags. Just a lot of equals with this team, and they go up against the Guardians team that overall for the season, the bullpen ERA has been fine, but take a look at what they've been able to do in the back half of the season. It's been a little bit below average. You still do have guys that you're able to trust in, like an Emmanuel Clase, who's been a solid closer thus far this season. A little bit down from what he was a season ago. But he, Aniel De Los Santos, the newly picked up Matt Moore, Michael Kelly, guys like this, they've been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, but Eli Morgan has been having some issues. Seems like Moore might be dealing with an ailment as well. James Karinchak has been injured, so that's a bit of an issue. And if you do get Xavion Curry out there, he's fine for a few innings, but he got figured out in his last few starts, and I do have some issues with that regard as he's not really too much of a strikeout guy. He's only been able to give you about 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. The command is solid. It's not great. And with regards to giving up the deep ball, he's been giving up about 1.1 home runs per 9 innings. So he's been able to keep the ball in the yard. 4 ERA, 4.43 fielding independent. So if you do get Xavion Curry against Grayson Rodriguez, one to lay up to a minus 146 with the Orioles with an 8.5 or less to the over, 9 or higher to the under. Have to think that if you get like some sort of minor leaguer for the Guardians, you perhaps see this go up to closer to about a minus 150 or so with the Orioles with a similar total. And then we wrap things up with 9.17, 9.18 on the betting board. It is the Detroit Tigers on the road facing off against the Oakland A's. It is to be determined who is on the bump for the A's, and it is to be determined who is on the bump for the Tigers. They really didn't do us a lot of help here, so this is a game that is completely off the board, but last I checked, it was projected to be Tarik Skubal going up against either Mason Miller or Luis Medina. Now, if you do get Mason Miller, he's probably going to be utilized as some sort of an opener as ever since he has been brought back after he was missing for about 4 months during the season due to injury. He has made 3 appearances. He's won 2 innings or fewer in every one of them. I really like Mason Miller. He was getting a lot of swings and misses towards the beginning part of the season, but if he gets a start in this one, that's pretty much an opener for Luis Medina. He himself has been able to look a little bit better here towards the back half of the season. I still remember when he was pitching with the Las Vegas Aviators earlier in the year. He was giving up at the minor league level 10 walks per 9 innings, and I'm not even kidding when I say that. So it's come a long way in a short period of time. He's got some good stuff, but does give up nearly 5 walks per 9 innings, 5.56 ERA, 4.96 fielding independent. Has given up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, but has given up 3-plus runs in 3 out of his last 4 overall appearances. So he's been a little bit all over the place. And if you get Drake Skubal, I'm willing to set the Tigers right in the neighborhood. About a minus 180 in this spot. I'd be willing to lay up to a minus 110 in this ordeal as well because, I mean, for Tarik Skubal, he really is the key to this handicap. He has been absolutely tremendous for the Tigers team. Now, recognize that he does have some pretty demonstrative home run road splits, but 228 fielding independent, 325 ERA, giving up a half a home run per 9 innings, 11 strikeouts, and 1.7 walks per 9 innings. He has been absolutely masterful. Now, on the road, he has had his issues. He's got about a 5 ERA on the road, .153 ERA at home. On that is a matter of circumstance, going up against teams that can mash when he's on the road, at home going up against a lesser competition. But now he's in Oakland, where it's as pitcher-friendly as it gets, especially during the nighttime. You've got an A team that, as a collective, they're hitting below a .220 when they're at home. They're averaging about 3.4 runs per contest at home. That is the lowest mark that you're going to find in the big leagues. You do have Brent Rooker, who's been able to do a nice job for being able to provide some power, 27 home runs as far this season, about a .325 on base. But at home, just 10 of those 27 home runs have come at whatever in the heck they're calling the Oakland Coliseum right now. And you've just got so many guys that are not moving the line for the team right now. As you've got in there, Carlos Perez, Elamendiz Diaz, Jonah Bride, Seth Brown. You're able to throw in there even someone like Shea Langeliers, Lawrence Butler, all these guys providing a .292 on base. You really don't get much power out of anyone else other than Langeliers, who's been able to give you 20 home runs. I will give credit where credit is due. Ryan Noda, about a .375 on base, 15 home runs. And we've also had Zach Galofe since he got called up from the minor league level. He's hitting about a .275 home run every about 19 or so at-bats for the A's. Ever since the beginning of the month of July, it's been about a league average bullpen. These guys like Easton Lucas, Danny Jimenez, Trevor May, they've been able to give you a .450 ERA, so they've been able to do an okay job there. And for the Tigers, much of the same for them. Jason Foley, Tyler Holton, they've been able to give you a .350 ERA. Alex Lang starting to come into his own as well. And for the Tigers, this is certainly not a team that's ripping the cover off the ball, but you do have Gary Carpenter, who's giving you 20 home runs, about a .350 on base. Spencer Torkelson, he's up to 29 bombs this year. Now, past that, you really don't have a lot with the team, as you've got the likes of Jake Rogers, Parker Meadows, Carson Kelly, Tyler Nevin, Javi Baez. You go down the list of guys, a .225 or lower. Akil Baddoo is another one of them. That's been a little bit rough, but I do think that the Tigers should have a pretty sizable advantage as long as you get Tariq Skubal out there. If you don't get Tariq Skubal out there, the Tigers become more of a modest, like, minus 125 to a minus 130 favorite with Skubal out there against, like, Mason Miller, Luis Medina, something like that. We'll be setting the Tigers on the money line right around about a minus 180 with a run line at a minus 110. And then 7 or less, we'll be looking at the over 7.5 prior to the under. If the Tigers don't throw Skubal, this probably becomes a situation where it's 7.5 or less, looking at the over 8 or higher to the under. And now wrap things up. For the Thursday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Beats and Family Podcast, if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNN_81 / my X timeline at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is sign an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season, and that means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.